either their own brainstorm or at least sitting next to someone who has brainstorm. There might be people at the back row. You probably have that and brainstorm on you. Yeah, so maybe you can, for example. Okay, so maybe we start kind of properly. So, I'm Jan Mohammadayan, I'm from the Department of Psychology here, and I will talk a little bit about how to use brainstorm to do EEG and MEG analyses, and mostly from the point of view of doing source analyses with this software. You can also, of course, apply these things to any software you're using, but I chose brainstorm here because it's MATLAB based, so if you have access to MATLAB, then you can download brainstorm for free, and then you can play around with it yourself, so you don't need to pay huge amounts of money to do the analysis. And also I thought that we will go a little bit back and forth between the slides and then the brainstorm, so that people kind of do step by step some things there. And let's start first with what brainstorm is. So this is how it can look like. So it's a MATLAB toolbox of different functions that you can do different kinds of operations with. And the good thing about brainstorm is that it has the graphical user interface. And I mean, at least for beginners, it's a good thing. So then it's kind of more easy to understand what you're doing instead of just writing some cryptic commands on MATLAB and then you don't really know what's going on behind there. And you can also visualize your data in different ways. So you can look at the original waveforms, the topographies, the sources, and then the source activations. There's also a very good tutorial for brainstorm available here. So if after this lecture you get excited about doing some analysis, you can do it. Maybe go through the steps there. And what can you do with brainstorm? So there are all these very basic functions available there. So you can, of course, do filtering, so if you want to get rid of slow or fast oscillations in your data, or you can also use signal space projection, for example, to get rid of your eye blinks in the data. And if you're analyzing EEG, you can re-reference, run averages, and then you can co-register your data with MRIs, anatomical MRIs, and then you have rather good options to do distributed source models. Dipole localization is not well implemented here. And then you can look at the source activity using different kinds of cortical oscillations. You can do time frequency analysis, connectivity analysis, and so on. And it's being updated all the time, so there will be new functions available all the time. But today we will focus more on these steps here. So registration with the MRIs and then the distributed source models. And look a little bit on how to examine on different cortical oscillations as well. All right. So hopefully you got this example data. Did you download it to your computers? Yes, good. So it's called this averagex.bst. And it's called averagex because I thought that we would explore the data a little bit and try to then perhaps guess or deduce what has been done in this experiment. So it's data from an MEG experiment, and it's from one adult participant. And there are 306 sensors in the data, radiometers and magnetometers. And it has already been filtered, the data, so you don't need to do anything basically for the average. So we would just examine the time course and the topography of this average x. Okay, so then we could go to MATLAB at this point. And you should go to the folder where you have Brainstorm installed. So you can go, for example, from here, browse for folder. Or does everyone already have the Brainstorm open on their computers?
No.
No? Okay. So then, please go to the folder where you have Brainstorm installed. And then just type Brainstorm on the command window, and it should open. So is anyone having problems in opening the Brainstorm? Have the Brainstorm open, you should have something like this on your screen. And at this point you shouldn't have anything here unless you've already been playing around with it. So no worries if it's not totally identical. So the first step how to get the data there is that we will create a new protocol, which is kind of if you have several different experiments, then you can kind of make a new protocol for your experiments. So just go to File, a new protocol, and then you can name it here, for example. You can name it as the name of the course or whatever you want. And because we are using MEG data, then you can say that we will use one channel file per acquisition run, so MEG, and the other one doesn't really matter. I mean, we are not using individual anatomy, but default anatomy, but you can still click either one of these. Anyways, it should create you a protocol file there, and then you can import data. So first you create a new subject there. So if you right click on your protocol name,
it's just opening
it.
It's just
opening
it.
It's just opening it.
It's just opening it. will come the name of the protocol.
Okay, so in the meanwhile, I will just close my version and open it again because I don't want to play. So let me know once you have your protocol created, so then we can proceed to the next step.
Are we supposed to see that folder? Out of
visual?
Yeah,
out of
visual.
No, no.
Okay.
So, these are just... because I tried that everything works, so I already have everything here. Still creating the protocol.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there's the default anatomy, the models or something. So, is there differences between those?
Yes.
This one, so I have like an MVG data for my thesis, so what's the difference?
Yeah, we will go through them shortly. But that's, that's a good one to use.
Are we supposed to, when we create the subjects, are we supposed to check on default anatomy? Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter at this point. I mean, because we don't have individual anatomy, then when you create your new subject, then you can choose that you protocol's default anatomy. So then it will automatically use the default. Although we might. Person has protocol created. What about others? Do you still have? So it's now done?
Yes.
Okay. So then you created the subject. So right click, new subject.
One or do we need two?
Just one. So then you will get this. So you can name the subject whatever you want. And then just say save. And then you should have your new subject. So the next step is then just to import the MVG data. So again, you right click now on the subject name that you have there. And then say import MVG or EEG. Yes, that's because you are actually on the anatomy tab here. So let me show you. So there are so here at the top you have these that says anatomy or functional data. So please go to this functional data and from here choose your participant and then say import.
You need to click on the side. So we take the average.
Yes, the average x. So you should then have a folder like this that has your, it says raw, but it's actually an average. Well, you can rename it if you want. And it should also have these Muromac channels, but not these other two files. Only the Muromac channels and then this raw. So you have your participant
state in the
brainstorm. Does anyone have any problems with me?
So BST.
Yes. So you can here change. This is the brainstorm X port. So yes. So you find the
BST. Okay. Yep.
So then just say import there. So it will open up the box. So just click on the import.
So are we supposed to do this for like in a normal measurement for each subject?
Yes. Although this is already an average, so you would ordinarily download your raw data here. That's the first step. But we will start with the average here. Just because we will then more quickly get to the more interesting parts. So that most people now have the data loading, and then you can start exploring it. So if you right click on the raw, you have several options available here. So you can look at the waveforms using these MEG radiometers or magnetometers. So that would be a good starting point to looking at your data, of course. For example, if you choose the gradiometers and then display time series, you should get something that looks like this. So this is a so-called butterfly plot. So all the 204 channels are plotted on top of each other. And then at the bottom you have the global field power, which is basically just showing, so it's kind of the amplitude squared. So it just shows you where you have the maximal peaks in the waveform. And if you're not happy at looking at all of the signals, then you can choose from here, for example, different channel sets. So you might, for example, just choose those that are at the vertex, and then your data looks like this. Okay. Or if you want to have kind of a more topographic view of your waveforms, then you can look at it in this 2D layout. is not very beautiful looking in this toolbox, but it will give you an idea. So you should, unless you get error. Sorry, my laptop crashed, but hopefully yours doesn't. But you should get like a 2D plot of the...
Something like this.
Well, yes. So that's the actual topography that Yami is showing. But there's also this kind of just like the waveform. Yeah,
oh,
like
okay.
That. And it might look a bit weird, so you can try to change the time window. So if you right click on it, you get more options on the picture. That you can then change. So that you can, for example, change the time window to be this minus 200, 600. And then you can also examine the actual topography. So again, if you go to the your data and right click on it and, for example, choose the radiometers. Here, then you can click on the picture, you will get a cursor there, and you can see the time here, for example, in milliseconds, 75 milliseconds is the big peak here. And the quick way to get the topography, you can just right click on the picture and you get the menu saying view topography. Hopefully you will get the topography visible. I don't know what's wrong with my MATLAB.
Good luck to have this.
Explore the data and try to figure out what kind of a stimulus has been presented to the participant. Alright, so
thank you, Don.
Hopefully this
will work better.
Okay. So if you click here, then you can get the topography visible. Another way to get the topography is from here, for example, from the radiometers and then 2D disk.
Huh. It did work.
Okay, this is very strange.
Yes, Jarmo has a bad touch on things.
Is it the screen resolution or something, because it changed?
It might be.
Okay, but do you get the topography visible?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's probably a resolution issue, because the data projector cannot cope with that's a high resolution.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can explore the 2D plot, but you can also then choose here the 3D sensor cap. And, okay, so this one it was able to draw for some reason. So you should get something like this. So you're getting your head, and then the MEG helmet shape.
Can you change this time series for this one?
Yeah. So you mean from here? So you can scroll back and forth.
Okay.
This resolution just here is a bit difficult to have both windows open. So you can basically scroll here, and then you can see that the topography is changing depending on which time point you are on. So from here you might be then able to start making some guesses as to what's going on here in the data. So what would be your guess? What kind of stimulation is this? Yes, indeed, it is visual. So this is the occipital area, so the response is maximal there. And that's of course where the visual cortices are. So in this way you can then explore your data initially, look at the topography and the waveforms and how it develops in different time points. Alright. But let's next then look at this in a little bit more detail. We will go through some steps that should allow you then to look at this data, for example, in the source space. And I will then...
Do you know what that means?
Try to...
The source space.
Yes, I will show you shortly if I get these wires. So this is basically what it means. So you have a topography, for example, what we just looked at in the data. And then based on this topography, you try to make the best guess as to which cortical areas are active during this activation. So based on the topography, you try to understand the cortical sources responsible for the topography. And there are kind of, you could say, four kind of main steps in this type of analysis. So first you need to choose either an individual MRI anatomy, or then you can use a template anatomy. In this case, we are now using a template anatomy. But if you have kind of an individual anatomy available, the steps would be basically the same. Then, once you have your anatomy correct, then you must align the anatomy with the functional data. After that, you create a head model from your anatomical data, and then you can calculate your sources in this anatomy. And let's go through these different steps, how you do it, and how do they affect the data. So, first the anatomy. And now, you can go again to your brainstorm and go to the anatomy tab here, where it says MRI and surfaces. And you have something that looks like this. You have default anatomy and an anatomy for your subject. And if it doesn't have any anatomy, you can then say use template, and there are many different options that you can choose from. And it would be good if you would choose this ICDM-152 anatomy template. And it might take a while when it's loading the anatomy. So please choose this one. And while it's loading the anatomy, we can then go through like what are these different anatomies.
If it already has the default anatomy, how can you change it?
Yeah, you don't need to change it then.
Yes.
Okay, but there are many different options for these. So here are, for example, two examples, this ICDM and Colin. The first one is an average of 152 MRI images. That's why it says 152. Whereas the other one, it says Colin 27. This is actually an MRI image of one individual who has been in the scanner 27 times. And it's an average of these 27 scans from this PhD student, Colin. And obviously, I mean, if you would need to choose between these two, I mean, you would go for the one that's an average across many people, because that probably fits better also your participant than this one individual. Okay, but there are other options as well available there, and particularly in the literature if you go and look. So there are two main categories of these anatomical atlases. The first one kind of in timeline is this Talara atlas, and it was based on two neuroanatomists, Talara and Tournaud, but this coordinate system is based only on one brain that they were examining. They examined it, of course, in a lot of detail, and that's why it was used for a long time, because it gave a very good idea like where are the different gyri and sulci in the brain. There's also one other problem with this atlas, which is that they only examine one hemisphere. And what they then did is that they just mirrored the other hemisphere to reflect the other one. So basically, this Dalaran brain is symmetrical. And of course, we know that the brain is not. I mean, the hemispheres are not identical. Later then, there was this a better development on these atlases called the MNI template. So the MNI stands for Montreal Neurological Institute. So they have their own coordinate system in the template. And it's actually based on the work of a big consortium of brain researchers. And this is then the other cryptic thing in the name. The ICBM stands for International Consortium for Brain Mapping. So the ICBM 152 is then this anatomy atlas. There's also a newer one available, which has 452 MRI images. So at